All right. Here we go once again. Ben Razum, Matt Gajewski here for awesomeo.com, and we are back with more college football betting picks, week three. Matt, I've been saying this, but it's true. It's been a great start to the betting card this year, and we're going to look to keep going. Some big matchups on this slate, so we're ready to dive in. I know you've got some really good picks. I've got some picks that I absolutely love, but I have to mention this right off the top. Our friends at BetMGM, who have been sponsoring these VODs all year, have a new promo going on, and it is absolutely fantastic. If you're a new BetMGM user, if you deposit $10 or more dollars into BetMGM using the link in the description of this video, you're going to get three months free of Awesomeo Plus Platinum, which covers all our sports. So you're going to get 3 months of that with your deposit. If that wasn't good enough, BetMGM is still giving you the risk-free bet of up to $1,000 upon deposit. So you should register now. Go all in on the action with the king of the sports books. Offer valid in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, D.C., and West Virginia. Terms and conditions apply. That is a good one to take advantage of. And you can use the picks we're about to give you to make even more money here, Matt. Let's just dive right into it. I know you're excited. I think the biggest matchup is probably the Alabama game. A lot of people want to see them go on the road, see in Florida. 15-point spread. You going with the Tide? You going with the Gators?
I will be going with the Tide. This is one I already have on my card. Like Alabama a lot this year overall. And they're a team I think that has been able to overcome some shortcomings we predicted a little bit earlier in the year. So they lost a lot on their offensive line. And it hasn't been great for early returns to start this year. But Bryce Young, their new quarterback, has just been so good that he's been able to overcome some of these issues. He's a guy these numbers are absurd and they're under pressure statistics. I want to stress that when he's under pressure, he's completed 75% of his passes, 286 yards, 5 scores, and 0 touchdowns. And this is against Miami's defense. Like, they're not just complete cupcake opponents. They did play Mercer, but the Miami game does stand out in there too, where most of those pressures did occur. He has good receivers in the outside in Jamison Williams and John Metchie. They kind of pieced together that wide receiver 3 spot. And they have a great defense. They did get injured a little bit in the first 2 games, but none of those injuries really appear that long-term. Will Anderson in particular, he avoided severe injury, which I think is positive for the Crimson Tide. On the other side, you just haven't seen a lot out of Florida yet. They played USF and FAU, so this will be a massive step-up in competition for the Gators.
I'm interested to see. Yeah, they are at home. That will help. But they've been using a dual, two quarterback system here. One of them is banged up now. It might all fall to Emory Jones. I just worry that Florida won't be able to produce a ton of offense. And you mentioned Bryce Young has to be considered right now, early season, the Heisman favorite.
I think so, too, especially with Rattler. Rattler hasn't really been bad, but he hasn't lived up to expectation. The other new signal callers, Uiagalelei and Stroud, have disappointed at times. Both those teams picked up losses. So I agree with you that Young is probably the early favorite, and he hasn't even rushed yet. It's a guy with 0 cumulative yards. He was recruited as a dual threat, something that isn't his skill set we haven't even seen yet.
You mentioned Rattler. That's where I'm going for my favorite bet of the week. Oklahoma, I don't care. I'm laying 22 points, no problem. They're at home. They've got Nebraska. Nebraska's not any good, so that helps. Oklahoma, they slept walk against Tulane. They were up handily in the first half. The game looked closer than it really was. You saw them get angry because they played a team in Western Carolina where they could name their score, and they decided to name it 76-0. They really ran it up. They did not seem happy about that. I expect, again, a pretty crisp effort here at home. Rattler's got every weapon in the world. They're playing a Nebraska team that lost to Illinois. Illinois is obviously not a good team. Then they beat Fordham and Buffalo. I don't think those teams are even remotely fair competition for a team like Nebraska. This seems like a crazy mismatch. I know I'm laying a lot of points, but I think Oklahoma's going to hang 50+. I don't see Nebraska keeping up. And then, Matt, you add in Nebraska's a little banged up as well. This seems like a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah, Nebraska is dealing with injuries to their top 3 receivers, some of whom may play. We'll just have to wait until later in the week for that information, but it's Oliver Martin, Omar Manning, Xavier Betts, even their tight ends, Travis Volkolek and Austin Allen, dealing with injuries. That's not good for Adrian Martinez. You mentioned it. Oklahoma was up 37-14 in the first half against Tulane, and they took their foot off the gas, which has kind of been something that Lincoln Riley has done a lot through his career, and it's bit him at times. Even last year, their best receiver, Marvin Mims, had about a 50% route rate, running around on 50% of the dropbacks for Oklahoma. That's just not something that you can live with. They benched Spencer Rattler in one game in particular in the first half, and then they started him coming out at halftime. You want your best players on the field for a majority of the plays. It just gives you more chance to win with these big plays. And I think Lincoln Riley learned a hard lesson against Tulane with the green wave coming back in that game. You still have Marvin Mims. You have a bunch of very good receivers in Hazelwood. You have Stogner at tight end. They should rack up points. And then this Oklahoma defense is vastly improved. And again, some of the issues in week one were because of starters coming out of the game, or at least playing situationally rather than their full complement of snaps. I think Lincoln Riley and Oklahoma right the ship.
I'm with you. That's my favorite one. All right, we're going to get to your second pick. I do want to say, there's a million games this week. So many good ones. You and me did a full slate breakdown on Betting You, our exclusive college football betting podcast. It's available anywhere you get podcasts, on our website as well. And of course, Awesome Odds here. Subscribe to this channel so you don't miss any more content. But Matt, let's get to another pick because I know there's more value on the board.
Yeah, let's do it.
Where do you want to go? Do you want to go or you want me to go?
I will go next.
Okay.
One I really like is a team you and I have been shorting so far this year. It's gone one way in our favor in week one.
Uh-oh.
It's BYU against Arizona. Arizona covered. And then week two, we laid 7 with Utah against BYU. That did not cover. BYU wins by 9 points. However, I want to point out that the yardage was very, very close in this game. You had Utah 147 rushing yards, BYU 150. In the pass game, slightly more discrepancy. BYU was at 237. Utah was at 194. But we're not really talking about a huge difference here. And it did come down a lot to turnovers. You had Charlie Brewer with an interception. Hall on the other side, 3-0 touchdown to interception ratio. We had Utah favored by 7 in that game. Arizona State is a better team overall than Utah. They have a very experienced dual threat signal caller in Jaden Daniels, young receivers, 2 stud running backs, and a strong defense. They're only favored by 3 points, 3.5 in some spots against the BYU team we've already been trying to short. So you have a better opponent favored by less points against the BYU team that already struggled against Arizona, perhaps the worst team in the Pac-12. I think this speaks more to Utah not being the team we thought they were than BYU being a team that we're trying to back. I like the Sun Devils.
I can get on board with that. Yeah, Jaden Daniels, some may say, second best quarterback in that entire conference. Obviously a talented playmaker. BYU, I was surprised at their effort against Utah, but I'm with you. I think it speaks more to Utah than anything else. And it's a team that I'm still willing to pick on. We're 1-1 with them. All right, I'm going to give one more and then we're going to bounce on out of here. I'm going to go to another big game. We got Auburn. We've got Penn State at night in Happy Valley. 6-point favorites for the Nittany Lions. I'm going to lay the points again. I think that Auburn might be walking into a pretty tough situation, and we just don't know. Auburn, they played Akron and Alabama State, so we know nothing about them. But historically, if there was one person I wanted to ask about Bo Nix in the world, it would be you. I know how you feel about him. I really respect Tank Bigsby in the backfield. But I want to point this out. In the opening game, Penn State went on the road to Wisconsin. In that game, Wisconsin, 58 carries, only for 180 yards, though. They really, really had to grind it out. So it showed Penn State can stop teams' run. I don't think that Auburn is just going to run it down their throat by any stretch. Penn State offensively, they've got Doxson, they've got Clifford, they've got playmakers. I think they're going to test Auburn's defense, who did lose a lot of production. Not a talented group, relative to the SEC. Then you add in, it's 110,000 people bearing down at you at night. I assume they're going to color coordinate, probably all in white, because that's what they do. It's going to be loud. It's going to be tough. I don't think Bo Nix carries this team back if they fall behind. I think Penn State moves, again, they keep this winning streak going. They lost 5 straight to open the year last year. Then they close it with 4 straight wins. They've looked good early here. I think the Nittany Lions get a big win at home this week.
I agree with you. Brought up a lot of good points. Bo Nix has never completed more than 60% of his passes. He's well below that in his first 2 seasons. He's above that right now. I think we need to consider level of competition for Auburn. They've played perhaps the easiest schedule in college football. His yards per attempt in his career, 6.9. And those are with stud receivers. We're talking Anthony Schwartz, Seth Williams, Eli Stove, 2 of whom were drafted and are playing in the NFL. Even Anthony Schwartz, we saw him start the game for the Cleveland Browns. Those players are gone. So you have to rely on Tank Bigsby and a running attack against a Penn State defense that already showed the ability to stop a very strong rushing attack for Wisconsin. On the other side on defense, you have Auburn playing with one of the weakest defensive units we've seen in recent memory. Only three all-conference players returning, none of whom are more than third-team all-conference. Against Penn State, who's going to have to play or going to have to cover Jahan Dotson, Parker Washington. Their run game showed a little bit more with Noah Kane in the last effort. And Penn State plays extremely up-tempo. This is a team under their new coordinator, Yurchich, who allowed Wisconsin to run over 90 plays, something we've just never seen. So they're going to stress Auburn on multiple fronts here. And playing at home, you mentioned it. I'm with you with the Nittany Lions.
There we go. We're going favorites this week. We got Bama. We got Oklahoma. We've got Arizona State and we've got Penn State. Four up, four down. Like I said, stay tuned. More college football content here at Awesome Odds and throughout the week. Good luck, guys, and we'll talk to you soon.